From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you with us today as we continue to let the Bible speak upon the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking particularly at the purpose that the devil had in mind in so attacking the Lord Jesus. That purpose that yesterday we saw as being to compromise his character and therefore nullify his mission. We're going to be returning to the subject in just a few minutes. But first, we will have our hot topic for today. This is going to come from India, where Christian missionaries are having a particularly tough time, at least in certain parts of the subcontinent. We're going to be dealing with a big, fat Hindu lie. A very important one for those who are interested in Christian missions. But first, we have the SMS choir singing, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Before Christmas 2006, police in Kattisgarh, India, arrested 11 missionaries following the conversions of a number of Hindus. The charge against the missionaries is that they bribed poor Hindus to become Christians. The local police superintendent claimed the missionaries were caught bribing poor Hindus in a slum colony to convert to Christianity. They were promising people economic help and jobs in exchange for conversion. Last August, the local government passed an anti-religious conversion law that provides for a 3-year jail term and a fine of 20,000 rupees for those involved in religious conversion by force or allurement. So the missionaries are looking at a significant sentence. Charging missionaries of bribing Hindus to convert to Christianity is the usual Hindu method of discrediting Christians. In many cases, the charge is backed up with physical violence and at times even with murder. To make matters worse, Hindu extremists often have the support of local police, so that Christian missionaries and converts find it difficult to get a fair hearing. Hinduism has a poor record of dealing with its poor. Its caste system condemns millions of its neediest people to lifelong rejection and poverty. Not surprisingly, Hindu activists are alarmed by a gospel that preaches the equality of all men before God and commands respect for and kindness to the poor. No missionary with any knowledge of or love for the gospel would set out to buy converts. But every Christian is a witness for the Christ who promises all who come to him the forgiveness of sins, and who introduces all his followers into a fellowship of loving, caring, and nurturing brothers and sisters. Christians cannot just turn their backs on the denizens of India's Hindu slums, nor can they ignore the plight of fellow believers just because a Hindu government may look on their care for the poor as an unlawful allurement away from Hinduism. American Christians should remember to pray for their brethren who are seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ under very difficult circumstances in places like India. And they should demand that the U.S. government put pressure on the Indian authorities to see to it that Hindu fanaticism is reined in and that the civil and religious rights of Christians are vigorously protected. The good news is that persecution will not stop missionary activity or genuine conversions to Christ. Ultimately, the gospel does not depend on the protections that governments can afford. As the apostles did, Christians invoke the right to such protections where possible, but recognize that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that it will not fail to achieve all that God intends. They are confident, therefore, that it will prevail over the slanderous and often murderous attacks of Hindu mobs or Mughals, who have no other answer to its appeal to sinners, whether rich or poor.
The Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-800-663-4. 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet separated unto the gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, that I had a thousand voices to praise my God with thousand tongues, my ransomed soul in grace rejoices, and grateful praise shall fill my songs. I'll sing wherever I might be, what great things God hath done for me. O Father, hear me, I beseech thee, though here I lisp my earthly lays, a nobler strain in heaven shall reach thee, when I with angels hymn thy praise, and learn amid their choirs to sing loud hallelujah.
Yesterday we commenced the study of the devil's purpose in tempting Christ, that purpose being to compromise Christ's character and thereby nullify his mission. Today we return to the point that Satan first attacked the Lord Jesus Christ through an appeal to the legitimate appetite of his flesh, and we'll learn some valuable lessons that will help us in our own battles with temptations. So now let's turn to the Word of God. Also, you'll see that there are very simple lessons about temptation and our basic attitudes toward them that we should maintain. When Satan came to Christ, he first appealed to a natural and perfectly legitimate appetite. Christ was hungry. Satan said, command these stones to be made bread and satisfy your hunger. When you look at the response of the Lord Jesus, you can understand that it's better to starve than to sup at Satan's table. And if we could only learn that very simple lesson, it would touch upon many parts of our lives. It's better to starve. It's better to do without what we think is legitimate. It's better to do without what we think we need. It is better to do without anything rather than to have it on Satan's terms, rather than to sup at Satan's table. There are a lot of Christians who are saying, well, there's no harm in this, there's no harm in that, there's no harm in the other thing. And insofar as you isolate those things, it is probably true. There's no harm in this or that or the other thing. But when you have those things as you sit at the devil's table, then there is harm in them. Never sup with Satan, no matter what the terms he offers. Then the devil appealed to Christ to give an attestation of his sonship. If you're the Son of God, do these things. And then the second temptation particularly, he is saying, show that you're the Son of God. Cast yourself down. Let the angels bear you up. Wouldn't that be a good thing for all the world to see? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't we welcome it today if there were some way that we could even call in the help of heaven to have a public attestation that Jesus Christ is all we say he is and all he says he is?
But the Lord Jesus teaches us very clearly that you never join forces with the devil, even when he appears to propose a good cause. You never join forces with the devil, even in an apparently good cause. I don't want to get away off on a tangent, because believe it or not, this is not really what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. But this touches on things that we have to deal with in the church constantly. There is a constant appeal to, quote, people of faith. Then people of faith should all get together because the common enemy is atheism or humanism or communism or some other ism. How the devil has people fooled. Listen, it doesn't matter really whether the devil's appearing in a humanist garb, an atheist garb, a Romanist garb, an Islamic garb, or any other garb. He's the same devil with the same purpose, and that's against God, and that's against Christ. And the devil really doesn't care what lie he uses to damn the souls of men, as long as he does so. And it is not the calling of the Church of Christ, and it is not the calling of any individual Christian to join forces with one segment of the devil's crowd in a proposed effort to oppose another segment of the devil's crowd. That will never work. It will never work. It's not God's way. You remember when I was preaching from Moses' great statement, the end of his song, there is no God like our God, and then there's no people like God's people. He said about Israel, Israel shall dwell in safety alone, in separation unto our God, in fidelity to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will prosper. But once we feel that we have got to join hands with Satan and his crowd, even in a supposedly good cause, we're selling out the truth and we'll lose the blessing of God. I'll give you a very simple example. This church was the very first church in Greenville to take its stand publicly on the scandal of abortion on demand. This church was the first church to stand with placards, to give out literature, to oppose the abortion doctors. And we did it when it wasn't popular, and when some leading fundamental churches in town would not even receive the literature or would not look at the film evidence that was on offer. I remember a time when two of our young men, Mark Allison was one of them, Steve Mulder was the other, got a series of films, and they brought them for churches in Greenville to be able to look at. And we set up a room along Wade Hampton Boulevard, and it would have made your heart bleed, because just about no fundamental preacher was willing even to come to spend half an hour to look at them, never mind to take a stand. But when we get invitations to join with the Church of Rome, the charismatic movement, whatever other movement that says it's pro-life, anti-abortion, let's stand together, because we're all on the same bandwagon here. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. There is a bigger issue at stake here. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying when he opposed this proposal of the devil. And then Satan appealed to the aspiration that Christ naturally and properly had to lay hold of the kingdom of God, and to lay hold of it for God. But again, the Lord Jesus teaches us that anything we gain in Satan's way is always ill-gotten. Now, you can take the temptations of Christ in a very simple, moralistic fashion like that and see what we can learn about ourselves. That's all very true. But as I've said, the temptations of the Savior go far beyond providing such lessons. If you look at them all, you'll find that the specific point that Satan had in mind was his attack on Christ's position and Christ's work as the mediator. His purpose was to trick the Lord Jesus into compromising his ability to do the work he had come into the world to do. And if you keep that in mind, you will see that Satan's temptations were ingeniously subtle. First of all, he says, command that these stones be made bread. Now ask yourself, where's the sin in doing that? Surely it would not be sinful for the Lord Jesus Christ, having starved for 40 days, surely it would not be sinful to satisfy his hunger. No, in itself it certainly wouldn't have been, any more than it would be for you to satisfy a natural hunger. But in these particular circumstances, it would have been devastating for Christ to comply with this proposal by the devil. Remember what I pointed out last week, that the Lord Jesus Christ stood in all these temptations as the second man, the last Adam, the covenant head of a new people, the representative of the people God had given him to save. If you keep that in mind, you'll see the oneness of Christ with his people. Now, what Satan was proposing to Christ here was, you are hungering. I want you to put forth the power that belongs to you as God and satisfy your hunger. Command the stones to be made bread. But ask yourself, we have been reminded by Pastor Brehm this morning about some of God's people in a place like Argentina, where money is practically worthless, where it's existing at all, where food is going to be scarce, where many people are going to go without job and without food. Ask yourself, when those people are starving with hunger, can they command stones to be made bread? No, they can't. You see, very subtly, what the devil was proposing to Christ here was, you're standing, as Satan well knew, for he was repeating almost precisely, words were different, the temptations were the same, he was repeating the program he had pursued in the Garden of Eden. He's saying, you're standing here as the last Adam. You're standing here as the covenant head of a people whom you have come to save and to redeem. You're standing as one with them. What he's really proposing is now that you sever yourself from them. Do something that sets you entirely apart from them in this matter of temptation. Archbishop Trench, one time Archbishop of Dublin, said, at his incarnation, the Lord had merged his lot with the lot of the race. The temptation is that he should separate himself from them and you. Satan was saying, Son of God, put forth thy power, and in so doing, isolate yourself from your people. Had the Lord Jesus agreed to do that, you know, he'd never have been our great high priest. It could never have been written. He was in all points tempted like as we are. It could never have been written that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. It could never be written that he can sympathize with us, that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, if when he was facing the infirmity of flesh, the weakness of the body and the hunger of the body, he had immediately invoked his power as God, he would never have been able to stand with us when we are tempted.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.